Hello, welcome back to the Play Movies, Watch Games Pitchcast. This is the show where each fortnight, or, you know, every 4 weeks, like we've left it since last time, we try our best to come up with the perfect pitch for either a movie as a video game or a video game as a movie. This week's pitch is Elder Scrolls as a movie. Just want to apologise. Been a while. Do apologise. My computer broke. But we're back and we're good. So anyway, for now, I'm your host, Lewis. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben. How are we doing today, Ben?
I am hot today.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, I can't stand it anymore. It's getting on my nerves. Bring on the storm. There's a storm coming this week and it's going to last for a week. I'm happy with that. I can deal with that. I've bloody had enough of this heat. It's muggy. It's horrible. I hate it. Don't do well on the heat. Don't do well on heat. Unlike some people who actually love it and sit there all day. Couldn't do it. Anyway, Ben, what have we been up to over the 4 weeks that we've missed? Oh, it's been silly.
A lot. It's a big time to miss a few weeks from what's been going on recently as well.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff being announced.
E3's happening as we're recording this. I don't know what one's tonight. We saw the Xbox and the Square Enix one last night, and then we've got Nintendo tomorrow. I think Capcom's at some point as well.
I think that's today.
Yeah, big games being announced. A lot's happened, but at the same time, I've not done a lot. So what have you been up to, Ben? What have you been doing?
I had a spell of just watching a load of films in a day.
Nice.
So I watched three films in one day.
Nice.
Two of which I hadn't seen before, and then one of them I hadn't seen for a very, very long time. So the first one was Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
I loved that film. I thought it was brilliant when I watched it. Like, just little sci-fi, just nice. Well, it's not really nice, but it's a good film. I quite enjoyed that. What do you think of it?
It was a good film. I hadn't seen it before. It came out 2016, but I hadn't seen it.
Yeah. Good, not great.
Yeah. That's exactly how I'd describe it.
I just liked the setting of it. I quite enjoyed just the whole sort of sci-fi-ness of it and the sort of world it's set in. I just quite enjoyed that. I remember really liking Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence as like a duo. I think they work together quite well. I think obviously they're both great actors. Shout out to, is it Dexter? No, it's not. Who is it? It's not Dexter Fletcher. It's the other one. The other one that looks like him. The other British guy.
Michael Sheen.
They look similar. Leave me alone. Shout out to him. He's hilarious in it, isn't he?
He's good.
He does steal the show. He steals the show. And Lawrence Fishburne as well, isn't it, as well, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Just turns up. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I do remember really enjoying it. I quite enjoyed that film.
Yeah. I think the idea is very good because you have a clear dilemma from the opening. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's basically there's this spaceship going to Homestead 2, which is basically a second Earth.
Yeah.
But it takes like 150 years to get there.
Yeah.
So everyone's put to sleep, and then Chris Pratt wakes up like 80 years too early. And then he's basically got that dilemma of how's he going to survive?
Yeah.
I think that's really good. There are a couple bits, like, I think the whole ship itself is very just same, but that's because it's really clean, and it's obvious why it's really clean.
Yeah.
Because there's no one awake, right?
Yeah.
But it needs a bit of texture, I think. Mm. Some of it's all right, like the really dark room that just looks out to space, that's fine. But then everywhere else is just white. The bar's good as well. I like the bar. It looks very like the Shining bar.
Well, there's a bit of colour at the end of the film. Don't want to give any spoilers away, but there's a little bit of colour going on by the end there, isn't there? But I just really, talking about dilemmas, when Chris Pratt gives the dilemma to Michael Sheen, who he's an android in this movie, he's like a robot, he's like a maintenance. If you've ever watched Prometheus, Michael Fassbender's like the robot on that, right? He's the android that looks after all the crew. Michael Sheen is very much that character on Passengers. And, you know, he welcomes in Chris Pratt and he's like, how are you doing? What drink can I get you? Blah, 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 blah. Doesn't think anything of it. And Chris Pratt's like, is anyone else awake? And he's like, no one's going to wake up until this time or whatever. Mm. And he goes, well, how am I here then? And then Michael Sheen's just like, you know, he just sort of glitches out. And that really stood out to me, that part. I just think he's a great comedic actor, Michael Sheen. I really like him. But yeah, good film. It's a solid 6-7, isn't it? You know, out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good sort of Sunday afternoon, you know, movie. I would say.
Yeah.
What else you been watching then, Ben?
Right. And then after that, I watched Ghost Town with Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
Came out 2008. This is the same kind of like, you know, switch your brain off, just watch it sort of thing. Well, it's Ricky Gervais, you know, it's just a comedy film. It's basically he plays a dentist in New York. But he keeps his British accent, which is never really talked about. But he has to go in for this operation, and it's fairly like easy operation. I can't remember what it is exactly. But he wants to be put to sleep for it, just because he does, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, "All right, we don't really need to do that, but you know, if you want." And then during this operation, spoilers, but it happens right at the start of the film, so you know, he dies. And then they bring him back to life in the operation. And then they don't tell him. They don't tell him that happened. They just tell him, yeah, it went smoothly. It was fine. And then once he leaves the hospital, we start seeing all these ghosts everywhere.
Oh, I think I remember seeing the trailers for this around the time now. Now you're you know, sort of telling me the plot. I kind of remember. I've not seen it, no. But yeah, carry on, Ben.
Yeah. And at first, like, obviously he doesn't know that they're ghosts because they just look like people that are just following him around for some reason. Then the ghosts are like, well, he can see us, you know.
Yeah.
And then he kind of has to do all their unfinished business so that they can go to heaven and stuff. Mm. Yeah, it's fine. Again, it's like a 6 out of 10. The main problem with it for me is that he kind of stays with this one ghost for a lot of it. Because the ghost that he stays with like wants to make his wife happy, who's still alive. So Ricky Gervais sort of has to try and do that.
Yeah.
But the ghost is like a good guy, then a bad guy, then a good guy.
Oh.
And he's a bit of an idiot. And it's odd, which, you know, is fine until it gets to like the final bit. Where, like, obviously, you know, he's gonna go to heaven. It's, you know, spoilers, but it's like obvious that it's gonna happen.
Mm.
But you don't really want him to because he's just a bit of a div.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's like,
doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, it's conflicted, which I would much prefer it if for the film, he just went to lots of different ghosts and did all of them. And then, you know, maybe you could start off not wanting to do the ghost thing because he doesn't care, and then slowly he starts to care, and then that reflects on his real life with real people. So you still get all your morals and stuff, but it was just a bit like, I don't like this guy that I think I'm supposed to like.
yeah, that is always a struggle, isn't it? Actually making a likable character likable, but yeah, I mean, I've not seen it, but I get where you're coming from, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the same sort of like, you know, if you just want to put a film on to watch it, like I probably won't watch it again, but it was fine.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else, Ben?
And then after that, on the same day, I then watched The Fly, which I've seen before, but not for a long time, with Mr. Goldblum.
The man himself.
So.
The big nippled man.
So, like, in Passengers, as we spoke about, all of it's in this one ship. Most of The Fly is just in this warehouse, which sounds more boring than a spaceship. However, because it's got all that texture and stuff, and it looks run down, and it looks horrible, and he's doing these weird science experiments, it engages you a lot more than a pristine spaceship.
Oh.
Have you seen The Fly before?
No, I don't think I have. Yeah. No, I think I remember seeing it on TV and being like, what is that? When I was a child, so I was like, yeah, I've never really actually sat down and watched it.
It is David Cronenberg, so it is body horror. You do see explicit stuff. It came out 1986. It's basically Jeff Goldblum is this scientist, and he creates a teleporter. And there's like two pods, one you go in, and then the other one you come out of. And he's testing it for ages, and it doesn't work. And then he figures out this thing, and then it does work, and he's testing it on his pet baboon, because he's Jeff Goldblum, and you know, he's weird. And then like one night he just gets drunk and he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going in. So he goes in, but then he doesn't notice that there's a fly in there with him. So then when they transport to the other pods, he starts like his DNA starts merging with the fly.
Yeah.
So he slowly starts turning into a fly. And then his name in the film is Seth Brundle. So he calls himself Brundle Fly. And that moment where it is like kind of 50-50 him and the fly is great because he's still like got his own Jeff Goldblum quirkiness, but he just looks horrible. It's brilliant. And then it slowly like amps up that he gets more and more fly, and then it gets quite horror-y.
Right.
But yeah, most of the film is just in the warehouse with him just evolving. But it's great.
Oh. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was a TV movie originally, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. It might be.
I think it was, yeah. I think it was the same sort of thing as, like, you know, the original It with, what's his face?
Tim Curry,
the man himself. I think that was I know that was a TV movie because it's, like, 4 hours long. I believe The Fly was. Either that was or its sequel was a TV movie or something like that.
I think it is Jeff Goldblum's first film, so.
Yeah, so like a breakout role type of thing. Yeah, big nipples. Karen, I say big nipples because there was a giant statue of Jeff Goldblum in London. I think it was to amp up the release of Jurassic World or something like that. It was Ian Malcolm. Is it Ian Malcolm? Who's his character in Jurassic Park? And it's his character from Jurassic Park. You know, sort of laying down, one arm on the ground, you know, sort of one arm on his leg, just chilling out with his shirt undone, and you could see the biggest nipples you ever have seen. Like giant fiberglass, you know, yeah. So that's why. Big nipple, Jeff Goldblum. Talking of Jeff Goldblum, Ben. E3's been happening, and Jeff Goldblum made an appearance to announce Jurassic World Evolution or whatever it was 2, which is like the, you know, sort of sandboxy theme park world game. A couple of, you know, games have been announced. A couple previously announced games have got updates and stuff. But it's just good time of year. Nice, you know, hype about everything. No Star Wars game, Ben. No Star Wars game been shown yet, which is a bit frustrating.
Yeah.
Even though Ubisoft are working on one, and you know they amped up to it, saying, "Oh,
it must just be too early."
I mean, it only got announced like this year, didn't it? And EA Play event isn't till July, I don't think. So you know we've got another month to wait till EA, and they might show something then. So you know, fingers crossed, get a Star Wars game announcement or trailer or something. That'd be nice. Yeah, well, have you seen anything that's really stood out to you, Ben?
Well, E3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose the Guardians game from Eidos Montreal, Square Enix, mainly just because that's like the only big new game that's kind of been announced.
So, like, when it got announced, I was like, oh, this is Avengers. And then they said, oh, it's single player only. Oh, okay. All right. You piqued my interest now. You play as only Star-Lord. Okay. Bit strange, but I'm up for it. Could be like Uncharted, but with, you know, Star-Lord. Or there's many single player games but that you play in a team and you only play as one person. You know, like all the Gears of War games. You mostly play as Marcus Fenix, but you're always in a team of four. You know, it's that's not the issue. The issue is, And I don't know if you got this feeling from it, Ben. It looks like it was meant to be a co-op game. But then Avengers flopped and they went, make it a single player, you know, story only game. Because he's leveling up and, you know, it looks like he's maybe getting loot and stuff. And I just think, oh, this just looks like Avengers. But now without the functionality of actually playing with your friends, which is probably Avengers' saving grace. Now, I could be wrong. The story could be great. And, you know, I've heard the story is quite good in Avengers as well. But I don't know, Ben. What's your opinion on it? Because to me, I haven't played Avengers and you have. So what would you say, you know, could be good about this game and what doesn't look so good?
I think it will work in terms of, because there's a lot of like, what's it called? Like choose your own adventure stuff where you get like options to do stuff.
Yeah.
Which might make it, you know, a bit better. Because I feel like, especially with just Star-Lord as well, because the problem is, the Guardians is a team. The Avengers, you could have just Iron Man. You could have just Captain America. But the Guardians are like...
Because they're iconic. Yeah, they're iconic heroes. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, like you said, Guardians is like a team. And I would say Star-Lord is probably the least interesting out of all of them, you know? Like, don't get me wrong. I think he's, you know, Chris Pratt portrays him very, very well in the films, but in the comics, he just seems like sort of, you know, anyone. He's just a guy that sort of floats around and does some shooting. Like, I'd like to play as, could you imagine not sort of playing as Drax, you know, and having some sort of Shadow of Mordor type combat there, you know, with a lot of hack and slash. Just imagine a third person shooter playing as Raccoon, like Rocket Raccoon. That'd be like, you know, it could be easily done, but
I think they've definitely like changed it based on the response of Avengers. Because if you're gonna have Star-Lord as the only playable character, then to me it's obvious to have the game based on the origins of the team.
Yeah,
similar to like a bit like Jedi Fallen Order, where you're like Cal, and then along the way you meet these other people, and by the end you've got a whole team.
That's it.
You know,
I mean, if they're doing it Star-Lord, why not do an origin story? If, like, and make it different to the MCU, because all of the thing with the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, they just look like MCU ripoffs. Like, the only one that looks different are Drax and Gamora. Now, Gamora is more comic accurate. Don't have a problem with Gamora. Drax has got a bit of a different design. Interesting. Don't mind it. Star-Lord just looks like a blonde version of Chris Pratt. Rocket Raccoon's the same as the one in the films, but he's got a goatee. And then Groot, they didn't know what to do with, so they just chucked a belt over him like Chewbacca. And I just think you could have done so much here. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. Until the game comes out, obviously, we don't know whether it's good or not. A lot of people had this same sort of issue leading up into Avengers, and then obviously we saw how that turned out. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes. I think, you know, single player games definitely aren't dead, and I enjoy them as long as they're good. As long as if it's like an RPG, it's just going to get boring really quickly, I think, from the trailer. Whereas if it's a 6-hour short game, I don't think I'd mind that, because it's short and sweet and it doesn't overstay its welcome. Whereas if they're going to drag this out for 20 hours, and which I think they will, because you can see him leveling up and stuff, and I just thought, why are they doing this? You know, why not make it a focused, story-based game that you just play Star-Lord, and that's fine. But no, it looks like they're gone, play a Star-Lord, Guardians are also there, and we'll just make excuses to keep the game going, you know? Because everyone's about quality, quantity over quality at the moment anyway. But yeah, do you think you'll pick it up, Ben?
I don't know if I will straight away.
No.
But mainly because of the amount of stuff that's coming out, to be honest.
And the amount that's coming out this year, which I thought was quite surprising. Mm. Since, you know, sort of COVID hit us last year, then a lot of stuff that, you know, was in its prime development would have been last year coming out this year. You know, like last year would have been the biggest sort of hurdle for it. Whereas games that were coming out last year, you know, they've just been bug testing and stuff, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And well, obviously we saw how Halo got delayed, but I don't think that's down to COVID. I think, you know, they were running behind anyway, and then COVID just had that extra impact. But yeah, I originally thought, okay, games that were meant to be coming out this year are going to be delayed more because COVID hitting last year is going to put delay on the, you know, the shooting of the movie, in quotes, as it is, you know. But apparently a lot of games coming out this year, which is, I don't mind, you know. Like, Xbox are just smashing them out. 27 new Game Pass announcements at the E3 there. Well, not new, but yeah. Exciting, Ben. Are you excited?
Yeah.
It's a great time to have Game Pass as well. It would be even better time to have an next-gen console, but no one can get one.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the bloody Lego Star Wars release date. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that... So I heard the other day they made a whole new engine for the game. So it makes sense why it's taken so long to come out. And then obviously maybe COVID had an impact as well. You know, I'm sure it was originally the release window for December, like, you know, end of the year 2019, I think it was. So it's definitely got delayed and delayed and delayed. But who knows? Who knows? Do you want to talk a little bit about Army of the Dead, Ben?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's a very, 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 very long feeling film.
Right, yeah.
It could easily be about an hour and 45 minutes, and it's 2 hours 15, I think, or 20 or something like that. And so obviously Zack Snyder's new film, Netflix exclusive or original, whatever you want to call it. Basically Netflix paid Zack Snyder to get the rights to it. And the opening credits are really good, really solid. Like Zack Snyder's opening credits are always solid, you know. But it just goes on too long, you know. But also, I found out recently, this film is getting a prequel and a spin-off and a sequel or something like that. There's three more films in development in this universe, which just seems like a bit premature, I want to say. I don't know. Because, like, I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it. It was definitely far too long. The action sequences are very, very good, as they are with Snyder. You know, the shots look beautiful in the action sequences. The shots in the talking sequences are ridiculous because they're about this close to their camera, you know, the people are. So it's blowing everything out of focus because Zack Snyder likes an out of focus shot, which just is unneeded. There's definitely some lore and stuff there that could be expanded upon. You know, the zombies seem to be able to make their own race, that, you know, can think and stuff, not just mindless zombies. And like, when I was watching it, a zombie got shot in the face and it was a robot underneath. And I thought, that ain't right. What's that all about? And then I listened to a couple of podcasts and reviews and stuff, and they all said the same thing. I thought I was just, but yeah, there's like Terminator zombies and stuff in this, which I'm guessing will get explained like later on. But yeah, now, what's this? The Snyder Zombieverse. Snyderverse with a Z. Restore the Snyderverse, the Deadverse. I don't know. I thought you'd watched it, Ben, so I thought we could talk a bit more about it. But oh well, it doesn't really matter. Have you seen Loki, Ben?
Yep.
What do you think of the first episode? A little bit slow, but interesting, would you say?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Just a completely different take on the MCU, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. I like that it just gets straight into it, right? So we're like, you know, here we are. We're in when he gets the Tesseract in 2012. Just the
picks
second
up straight
time.
From it, yeah.
And then, you know, he's teleported here, and then instantly the TVA's there, and then, you know, yeah, straight in. I like Owen Wilson's character.
It's very good. He's good. I've not heard a wow yet, though.
There'll be one. There'll be at least one. They'll probably do it how they did Sam Jackson's mother effer. Like, they'll wait. Mm. They'll wait and wait.
Yeah, they'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that I sort of got a bit disappointed with the first episode is that, you know, in the traders and stuff, it shows him sort of hop into different, you know, time... time dimensions or time reality, mm, you know, alternate universes caused by time or whatever, I don't know. And you could see in the trailer about the DB Cooper, you know, takes a bomb onto a plane type thing. And they were like, oh, what universe is this going to be? It turns out it was just a dare from Thor and Heimdall. And I was like, oh, like that looked like it could be going to an interesting point. They could sort of, because if you don't know, it's a big mystery. This guy turned up out of nowhere. They got no, they had no records on him or anything like that. They couldn't trace him, like his original name or anything. He went onto the plane. He demanded a load of money with a bomb and jumped out the plane with the money, never to be seen again. So there could have been something really interesting there where they could have played off of it, and they was like, oh, it's just a dare. So that was a bit disappointing to me. But apart from that, I really enjoyed, you know, this setting that we're in now. And I've just missed Tom Hiddleston on the, you know, being Loki. He's so good, isn't he? It's not until, like, you know, it's been like, well, we saw him at the start of Infinity War. We've not really seen him since. I know he popped up in Endgame, but he didn't really get, like, him acting. Mm. He's there, wasn't he? And it's just good to have him back, I think.
Yeah, he's a great apparently actor.
I think apparently the second episode gets a bit more into the timey-wimey stuff, you know? Mm. That's what I've heard anyway, because a lot of reviewers have seen the first and the second episode together. So, yeah, exciting. Yeah. I think it's six episodes. Is it six episodes?
I'd guess, yeah.
Yeah, like Falcon and Winter Soldier. Have you seen Falcon and Winter Soldier yet, Ben?
I watched, like, the first two episodes, and then I was bored.
Oh, it's good. It is good. But I do think it works better week to week. You know, maybe try not to binge it. I think it is definitely good, though. You know, it's definitely worth a watch, I would say it is, anyway. You probably know what happens, anyway.
Oh, yeah, well, I've seen, yeah, about a certain woman character and other stuff.
Woman character?
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Who's in the series? But I don't want to say anything. Well, because it's all on, you know, like Marvel's got that Marvel Legends thing.
Yeah.
And she's got her own thing on there. I can't think of her name. She's the blonde woman.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the Wakandan lady that turns up, but Yeah.
Just quickly about Loki, I don't think I'm, this is spoilers by the way for like the end of the episode, I don't think I'm a fan of, oh, now go catch yourself. I think that's far too obvious.
What do you mean?
Like when at the end they go, oh, there's a villain, who is it, who is it? Oh, it's you. Go help us capture you. I think that's a bit, like,
they, I don't know. There could have been a reveal there.
I'd, you know? Yeah, I'd like it to be, go capture Mephisto.
Yeah, there could have been some sort of reveal saying that, you know, we need you because there's another Asgardian that's jumping across time. Just enough. Like, obviously, the comic nerds would get it straight away. I watched a video where they already predicted what it's going to be, and it is that, basically. And, you know, they could have just gone, oh, we need you to capture him. And he'd be like, why? And he'd be like, oh, because he's an Asgardian. And then what they could have even teased is that maybe it's Thor. You know, like just a fake out. Like, they could have teased, they could have shown a silhouette and he's got a red cape or something like that. And they could have done a fake out and then a big reveal that actually it's Loki. And like, obviously, we could have all seen it coming a mile off, but it's still like a nice twist, you know. But yeah, I know what you mean. Just like straight up, you're the bad guy. You're going to capture yourself. Well, we know what we're in for now, don't we? So, but yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
And I especially like that it's 2012 Loki when he was like proper bad guy and it weren't.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, where he's just like. Like, I'm above you, and they just reset him every time.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely puts him in his place quite quickly.
And what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the Infinity Stone paperweights?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was really, really funny. They were just like in a drawer, just chucked in a drawer. Yeah, and they're obviously useless. I don't know if maybe like. If he could teleport to Earth and he has them, then they'd become useful again. But obviously in that reality, they are useless. So, yeah, interesting stuff. Anything else you want to talk about, Ben? Or do you want to get into the topic this week?
Bad Batch. I don't know what episode it's on.
I've not watched the most recent one.
You're not? I think it's on 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's doing the Clone Wars thing where every episode is completely different and it has a very, very small, like, through line plot.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's a little bit annoying when it's week to week because you kind of like, you want to know what's happened and then it just goes in a completely different direction.
It's, it's very slow moving, isn't it?
Yeah, I know you said you haven't seen the last one, but we get a character that we've been waiting for that shows up.
Yeah,
a man with really short buzz cut blonde hair.
Rex.
That looks similar to the rest of them.
Yeah.
His entrance very much Ahsoka in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
In the cool. He turns up straight away at the start of the episode.
Nice one.
I think he's going to do more later on.
Yeah.
Because in here he's like, hello, I'm here. Just remember, I'm a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. I think he'll turn up at the end of the season or something for the big finale as well. You know, like, we knew we was going to see him at some point. It was just a matter of when, wasn't it? So, but yeah, like I said, I haven't watched it yet, but I'll definitely watch it.
And I think... I'm hoping, because we haven't seen Crosshair for a long time now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping when we see him again, he's like proper, like, big boss fight, like, Crosshair. Like, he's got loads of ammo and stuff.
Yeah, rather it is a good point. Yeah.
Rather than he just come back and he's like, yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. I thought about how we've not seen him for, you know, quite a few episodes now. Just see what he's up to, but maybe like it'd be good if he was training and they're saying about, you know, because the black armor with the green visors, they're the Death Troopers and stuff like that, you know, the ones from Rogue One and stuff, so it'd be quite interesting to see if he's like the first iteration of that, or, you know, training them type thing. But or if he comes to his senses quite quickly and doesn't want to follow the Empire anymore and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes. I'm enjoying it. It's just really slow, isn't it? But I mean, that the Clone Wars and Rebels are slow, but because they're short, you could binge watch them and you get through them quite quickly. It's like, I used to watch sort of 3 episodes of Rebels a day type thing during lockdown, and that's how I got through it quite quickly. And you can't really do that when it's week to week. You know, you sort of feel like maybe it should be 2 a week or something. Or if it is week to week, why make so much filler out of it? Like the one from last week with the girls that turned up in the filler episodes of season 7 of the Clone Wars. And it's like, oh, filler's back, is it? Hello, filler and filler's sister, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't interest me at all. I thought... When I first saw them, I thought it was going to be someone else. And now I can't remember who I thought it was going to be. I thought maybe it could be like someone from Rebels, or it could have been Asajj Ventress. I thought the episode with the Mandalorian bounty hunter, you know, the bounty hunter turns up in the Mandalorian and gets her stomach replaced or whatever. I thought that was going to be Asajj Ventress, but it isn't. But it's fine. It's fine. At least it's tying it into, like, you know, characters we've seen. When I first saw her, I thought she was the girl from Rise of Skywalker, you know, the one that Poe knows on that weird planet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, why are they... Hang on a minute. She's, like not even born yet. What's going on here? Unless she's, like, really old in Rise of Skywalker, and we don't know because you just see her eyes, you know?
Mm.
Strange. Anyway, moving on. Yeah. Should we get into our topic this week, Ben?
I've got two more things, quickly.
Well,
I thought we was going to be spending a lot of time because it was, like, gamer, like, announcements and everything. So.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not really a lot. Just nothing I can really come to mind to think of, really, but... Yeah.
So I watched a series called Time. It's on BBC. It's a 3-part series with Sean Bean and Stephen Graham.
I've heard about this. It's been getting good reviews, apparently.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's basically Sean Bean's in prison.
Sean Bean.
Because he killed a cyclist. From drink driving. But basically, he doesn't gel, you know. He shouldn't be in prison. He didn't mean to do it, you know. He gets a shorter sentence because it's obviously that he didn't mean to do it and everything. And then Stephen Graham is a prison guard who is basically getting, like, blackmailed and stuff by some of the prisoners who know people on the outside to bring them drugs in.
Yeah.
So it's like one of them's a prisoner who shouldn't be there, and then one of them's a prison guard who's actually doing some dodgy stuff. But it's great. It's very, like, the writing is very good. The acting's very good. Because I don't usually like prison stuff, because it's usually just, oh, we're going to start a riot because we're prisoners. And then this one's a bit, you know, it's a bit different. I think each episode is about an hour. I watched them all back to back. Some BBC iPlayer. Three episodes.
They like those sort of things, don't they? Like, sort of telemovies split up into three, you know, like all the Sherlock seasons and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. It was a bit like Quiz that they did on ITV. Like, similar sort of, where it was like 3 episodes. So I'd recommend that. It's called Time.
Time. Easy to also remember.
Yeah, time. Because he's doing time.
Doing time. He did a little crime. Now he's got to do a bit of time and go along with the crime.
But Miss Minutes isn't in Time. She's in Loki. No. Also, watch Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime.
That sounds...
Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, really? I've not heard of this.
You've not heard of it? Oh.
No.
It's an 8-part series. Again, I watched it all in one day.
Oh,
it's Jeremy Clarkson. He's got his own farm. It's great. I don't need to say much more, to be honest.
I bet he does a lot of whinging on it, doesn't he? A lot of moaning.
Yeah, they started filming it in, like, September 2019, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, halfway through is when the old pandemic rocks up.
Yeah.
So, that gives it an interesting dynamic. But yeah, it's very good. He's basically says, like, he bought his farm in, like, 2008 or something. And the guy that runs it all and keeps it all is retiring. So he's like, oh, I'll do it myself. So then he has to learn how to, like, use a tractor, and he gets a load of sheep.
Really?
He basically just gets everything he can.
He's bloody... But Clarkson's retirement age, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's like, 60s. But, you know, he's got a TV show. Some money.
It's quite interesting because, like, obviously James May's got his own show on Amazon Prime as well, isn't he? And Hammond had one with someone else, didn't he? Doing something like camping or something. Yeah. So it's interesting how they've, like, Prime have just gone to him and be like, do whatever you want, we'll film it, you know, type thing.
And they all do Drive Tribe on YouTube and Food Tribe.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's their YouTube channel, so they're very good.
Oh, I didn't know that. There you go. Learn something new every day. Anything else, Ben? Or can we get into the topic this week?
I don't think so. I was trying to think of any games that are announced.
So I feel like we've missed, like, you know, 4 weeks, but I really don't think we've been doing a lot. You know, I've just been crazy busy trying to get my computer sorted, this, that, and the other, painting a lot and that. So boring old fart I am, but I've been thinking about how to turn Elder Scrolls into a movie. Now, I've got two pitches, but do a little bit of the topic covering first, if that's all right, Ben. Would you want to add anything?
No.
So, if you don't know what Elder Scrolls is, you might have heard of a little thing called Skyrim, which is, you know, is one of the Elder Scrolls games. So Elder Scrolls have many games under its banner, including Oblivion, Daggerfall, Morrowind, and of course Skyrim. And of course the Elder Scrolls Online, which is quite popular, I've heard, but not for me. Each game is usually set in a different period in the world, with its own story to tell. So the continent, I think it's called, is Tamriel. So each game is sort of set in a different location of Tamriel, with its own sort of story to go alongside it. And I think Skyrim is the most modern game set in the Elder Scrolls lore. It's the most recent in the timeline. There hasn't been an attempt to bring Elder Scrolls to the big screen, you know, from what I could find. Could you find anything, Ben?
No, there was when you type in like Elder Scrolls movie, it's just, you know, all the cutscenes of the game stitched together.
That's it, yeah. And fanboys asking why there hasn't been one. But after the success of Warcraft, the film that came out, I don't know, 2014, 2015, something like that. I'll say success. It was successful in China. Games Radar interviewed someone at Bethesda and asked, like, if there would ever be an Elder Scrolls movie, and they replied, not unless Peter Jackson is involved, which I think is a very good idea. If they're going to do an Elder Scrolls movie, Peter Jackson would be the one to go to. That's what I think anyway. So like I said, Ben, I've got two plot pitches and a couple of casts. What have you got?
I've just got one smaller one.
One smaller one. So I'll give my one and then you give yours and then again and again and again and again. So Ben, plot one. Have you ever watched Hardcore Henry?
No, I don't think so.
So Hardcore Henry is a movie that's like a sort of a guy wakes up, doesn't know who he is, and he's got to like find out who he is and what's going on and why he's been in this facility, right? But the quirk behind this film is it's all set in first person. So it's all basically just a GoPro footage with two arms either by the side. So I think a great setup for the Elder Scrolls movie would be this first person perspective only. Just because the Elder Scrolls games aren't the only ones, but they're the ones that have done it well of being in a first person perspective, you know. They're sort of big fantasy RPGs, but all, well, they're not first person locked. You can do third person, but it's a bit janky. You know, they're mainly in first person. And when people think of Skyrim and Oblivion, they sort of think of that, you know, perspective. Whereas other fantasy games, like, say, Diablo, Pillars of Eternity, they're all sort of isometric. Or you've got, like, Dragon Age, which is, you know, sort of the camera follows the character, but it's not, like, dynamic camera. It's just a character walking through the field, basically. So I think that would be a good sort of starting point of this pitch. It's all set in first person, and I think you could just do the plot of Skyrim, basically. It's just such a popular, like, the game is probably, I would say, as popular. as popular as the franchise is. You know, it's people, I say to people, oh, have you ever heard of Elder Scrolls? Some people might go, yeah. Oh, have you heard of Skyrim? Everyone goes, yeah, you know, everyone knows what Skyrim is. So I think it would be a good sort of selling point, good advertising. So it's just follow sort of the plot of that, fighting dragons. So I would say maybe do a shot-to-shot remake of the opening of Skyrim, because everyone sort of knows that as well. I've played Skyrim twice, never finished it. I've done the opening twice and gone, oh yeah, I remember this. You know, it's quite, that's sticking in your mind quite quickly. So yeah, I think maybe follow that, do a shot-to-shot remake of that. That would be quite a good way of getting people into the film and knowing what it is, you know. Obviously, if you're following the plot of Skyrim, it's got to be shortened down to 90 minutes. I think it's doable. You know, you could sort of have him just waking up and then sort of going from there. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and the plot is actually summed up into three paragraphs, so it does seem quite doable. So basically, I've summed it up really quickly. So basically, the protagonist wakes up in a prison. As a prisoner, not in a prison, he's in a cart going to a prison. A dragon attacks, and he escapes. He finds out from the guards that he's a dragonborn, which means he can defeat dragons and absorb their souls. He meets with some geezers that know all about the dragonborns. Some like old geezers that know all about it. Then he meets a group of dragon fighters called the Blades. He summons a different dragon to ask for its help, and then he defeats the bad dragon at the end of the film. That is Skyrim summed up super quickly. So yeah, do that, but all in first person. So nice shots, dirty, gritty, grey world, which Skyrim is. You know, it's not very beautiful. It's not like, you know, overly green or any lushness to it. It's dirty and gritty in it. Yeah, that's my sort of first pitch, Ben. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most solid routes to go down.
Yeah.
The first person, yeah, it's interesting. Possibly first person with no cuts, similar to like 1917.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be interesting. Could do. Yeah.
It might be a bit hard to watch. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. It might be all right. But yeah.
It could work. I think if it was a bit of a longer film, you know, if it's on the sort of 2.5 hours, then you could do the no cuts, because you could, I don't know, because how would you travel from bit to bit to bit to bit? Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It could work. I think with the hardcore Henry, it's sort of, there's bits where he takes rests and stuff, and it'll go to flashbacks and that sort of thing. So there's definitely cuts in the film, but the actual action sequences are sort of seamless. They're quite good. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. That would be a nice little addition to it. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else to add, Ben?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's what I just thought. I thought, do Skyrim as a movie, but you can't just do Skyrim as a movie. It's a bit too easy, isn't it? So, yeah, I thought that could be a little nice addition to it. Ben, give us your little one.
So, my, like, experience with Elder Scrolls is I've played a bit of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
like
a couple...
Five to ten years ago.
Like I've played it for like maybe a month, like yeah. Not solidly. Like I didn't complete it or anything.
Dip in. I think everyone has, isn't it? You know, I dipped in and out and I just sort of got lost a bit and then, you know, sort of went from there, so.
Mm. Yeah. So, but like my understanding of it is like when you bring up Peter Jackson, is it like very much Lord of the Rings? In its, you know, its big world.
It's that medieval fantasy setting, isn't it? You know, you've got like the fantasy mythical setting, and then you've got like the medieval fantasy setting where it's sort of a bit more grounded, you know, and that's what Lord of the Rings is similar in Skyrim as well, with Elder Scrolls as well, you know.
Yeah, so mine's kind of taken what I know of Skyrim and then like Lord of the Rings and kind of put them together. So exactly the same. It starts off with the start of Skyrim, you know.
There you go.
Oh, look, so you're finally awake. Like, you know, if it's not in there, it's a horribly missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And because it is an awake thing, it has to be first person because it's, you know, it's the eyes opening.
Yeah,
it's the
lens opening.
But I would have mine like more traditionally shot. And then I think it pretty much the same thing. You know, they're in the prison. The dragon comes out. He's like, "What's going on?" But then I'd have him, our main protagonist, be pretty much completely useless.
All right. Okay.
The reason is they're hard games for me, anyway, from my perspective.
Yeah.
So I just have our main protagonist be useless, as if it was a brand new person playing the game, but like in a film. My main stance on the game is that it's just the style of, you know, you have to big inventory and all this. Like I don't have the patience, basically. But yeah, so he's useless. So he has to meet people rather than, you know, going in guns blazing. So he like meets, you know, wizards and whatever. Because again, it's geezers. Geezers.
Old geezers who know about dragons and stuff.
Yeah, and you have the obvious dynamic that you have in every team up game and film, where you have the wise one and the stupid one and the, you know, etc. And then have it very much just Lord of the Rings, we're going on a journey, but have the main protagonist, you know, is useless in this combat, but we start to see little bits of his psyche,
his potential or not.
Just more of what he's thinking. Right?
Oh, okay. All right.
Kind of bringing in that deeper kind of perspective. So we're going through, and then we're fighting, and then it would be very, you know, action heavy. So we start to see like more of his true intentions. Not that he's evil, but
yeah,
it makes him sound evil. But
his true intentions.
More what he's, you know, he's not revealing to other people. And yeah, very action heavy, like lots of fights and stuff. And lots of, you know, different creatures make it very rich in terms of its environments and stuff.
Yeah.
Just to show kind of the vastness of everything. But then, you know, for the first few fights, he just kind of, he sits back and he watches, and we kind of just watch with him.
Yeah.
From like the camera's perspective. And the team's doing really well, and they all, you know, like they don't gel together when they're having a talk. They all are like bickers and everything. But then when they need to fight something, they get on with it. And get on with it well. And then it's getting harder. So they're like, "Yo, you're going to have to, you know, we need extra pair of hands now. You can come and help us." So he can go in and he can do his stuff, but he's not like the MVP of the fights. And then they're going along, and the film would need some sort of MacGuffin in terms of like reason for fighting stuff, similar to like, you know, the ring in Lord of the Rings, and something that is very offers a lot of what someone would want, so power or money or whatever. and we're getting close to it, and it's getting harder and harder, and they're getting really tired, and you know, they get a battle and they lose someone. Someone dies in the battle, and it's a big emotional moment. But like, you know, we got to carry on. We got to continue. And then they get to like what seems to be the final boss. Big dragon bitch or something. I don't know. And they're really struggling. And they just need to get past it. And then they'll get the thing. And our guy, when the team's got the dragon thing pinned down, our guy just runs past them to the thing and grabs it for himself. And then they're left there with the dragon. And then it kills them all. Then our guy's like, yeah, I didn't need none of you anyway. And he gets whatever it is, you know, the ring or whatever. But then it turns out there's actually this bigger baddie there who's just like waiting for him the whole time, and is like, yo, remember when you were in prison that time? That's because of me. because I don't know. And he's like, yeah, now you're my little bitch. And then he enslaves him again. And then there's the moral story of don't turn your back on your friends.
There you go.
But basically, I would have it just, you know, vast world. You could have the film be Lord of the Rings, 4 hours long, whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But have that big twist at the end where our protagonist is actually a little pussy.
Little naughty boy. Very, very edutainment there, you know. You know, make sure you learn a lesson from this.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I think it just puts a twist on that you're normally like, oh, you start out small, but then you build yourself up and then you become the really good guy. And this is, you start out small, you build yourself up, but you actually don't care. You just want the thing at the end of the tunnel.
Just want the thing, whatever the thing is. The Elder Scroll. You want the Elder Scroll. There you go. Boom, bringing it all back around. If that is a thing in the games, doubt it.
You want the sky rim. You want the rim of the sky.
There you go. All right, Ben. I'll give my second one quickly. So my other idea is sort of similar to one I gave a few weeks ago. I've given it twice now, and that's an anthology movie set in Tamriel. So I think this is the, you know, sort of the easiest way to show you all the different areas of Tamriel, your Morrowind, your Skyrim, your Oblivion. I think they're all areas of the, like, in, you know, of Elder Scrolls. I think that's why the names are named after them. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. And it's a good way to show that all off and be able to show all, you know, sort of the iconic locations and all the iconic factions from the games. You know, you could show the Dark Brotherhood getting up to some naughty stuff in one place. You can show Patrick Stewart's character from Oblivion before the events of Oblivion or something like that. You could show a random guy who just got the disease of vampirism and has got to find the potion to cure himself as quick as possible. And then you could show the guys in Winterfell trying to teach Dragonborn, you know, from Skyrim. There's loads you could do. You could do, you know, all the different areas of Tamriel, all the little different stories going on in different places. And, you know, you can have like a through line or whatever, tying them all together. But yeah, that's my sort of second pitch. Quite an easy one. What do you reckon, Ben?
Yeah, I think... might get too much. I don't know. Just for
it's such
people
a big,
that don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's such a big lore, isn't it? I think maybe it would work better like a Game of Thrones esque like series where, you know, you have these characters interacting but then they go off to their own places in the world and you might not see them for 5 episodes and then you see them for like a whole episode and stuff like that. Yeah, I just thought maybe they... It's hard, isn't it, to try and do the fans justice and show off all the different, you know, all the different things in this world, with all the different things going on all the different locations. So maybe it would work better as a series. I'm not sure.
He's trying to put 4 or 5 entire games into an hour and a half, you know.
Well, just little snippets, yeah. Yeah, just little snippets, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Ben, have you got any, like, cast or directors or anything?
Not specific. However, for, like, my idea and the main character.
Yeah.
Have it obviously be someone who's not, you know, built like Chris Hemsworth or something. But don't have it be like someone unbelievable either. So don't have it be like Michael Cera, because like he's not going to defeat a dragon. So like somewhere like in between, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone.
Like a Zachary Levi or Levy.
Yeah, but like have him be like, you know, not already in a superhero film or anything.
It's hard to think of someone who's not built like, you know, built like a Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, he's not built like a Marvel superhero.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, I know what you mean though. Yeah, it's tricky trying to think. How about Kylo Ren himself?
He's too busy getting divorced.
He could turn to the dragon and go, I know what I need to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Brilliant.
And then the dragon just pins his hair back and be like, release them beautiful ears.
Great.
I've got a bit of casting, Ben. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get Patrick Stewart back. Because he's a main character in Oblivion. Doesn't necessarily have to be his character, but just have him there as a cameo. I would like to see Sir Ian McKellen himself walk past the camera looking like Gandalf. Just walk past it. Mm. Just like looking around like, did I go that way? Do I go this way? Oh God, I'm so lost. I don't think I should be here. I put Henry Cavill as a main character in one of the anthology shorts because he's a big fan of Skyrim, but he also really loves World of Warcraft as well. So, I think he'd be a good option just as a... If you're doing shorts, that would be quite a good option. James Corden as one of the cat-looking people because he was in Cats. What do you think?
Not a fan of James Corden.
As well as Jason Derulo and who else was in that movie?
Judy Dench. Ian McKellen again.
Yeah, was he? Oh, there you go. I didn't even know that.
He could come back as a cat and then come back as Magneto and he just keeps walking across. Like, where am I?
I like it. And my other cast is Sean Bean and to die in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he was in Game of Thrones as well as Lord of the Rings and he dies in both of them. So there you go. That's my cast and everything. What about you, Ben? Anything else?
And Andy Serkis as all of the dragons.
Yeah.
With Benedict Cumberbatch voice in them.
Yes. That would be perfect. Be absolutely perfect.
And
Benedict Cumberbatch, he can do some impersonations as well. Mm. So he could be like, I am Smaug. All right, geezer! You know? Just really flip it on its head. Any directors, Ben? I'm guessing... I mean, Peter Jackson's obviously the prime choice, isn't he?
It's just similar, isn't it? In, like, it's a journey with a team of people. But, you know, lots of films are like that. Guardians of the Galaxy is a journey with a team of people, but you know, it's got James Gunn, you know, it's the same as Suicide Squad that he's also doing, you know.
I think Benicio del Toro, Guillermo del Toro would be a good choice as a director because, you know, getting that grotesqueness, you know, the monsters and the dragons all looking horrible and really, like, really creepy. I think that would be quite a good option. What do you think?
Yeah, it gives the much darker.
I don't know if you'd want that in the first person movie, though. That'd be a bit much, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see Pan's Labyrinth from the perspective of the pale man.
Is that the eyes?
Eyes in his hands.
Yeah. Could you imagine just like, you know, he's just like looking around the world and he just puts his hands down by his side and you just see the rest of the movie upside down.
Yeah. High five. Screams are going black.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else to add, Ben? Or I think that about do it.
I don't know. Don't like James Corden. I prefer Adam Driver's ears.
There you go. That's what you want to add. Get James Corden out of like the limelight and get Adam Driver's ears to host Saturday Night Live or whatever it is that he hosts in America. There you go. Yeah, a bit of a shorter one this week. Struggle with this one. I did anyway. But I've got some banging ideas for next week. Next fortnight. So, you know, please come back in a fortnight. Hopefully we'll be back up and running properly by then. So thank you for listening. Please be sure to leave us a rating wherever you listen to us. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and all the others, I think. I'm not sure. If you'd like to send us a question or a recommendation for a topic, please do send us an email to playwatchpitchcast@gmail.com. If you want to see updates about our podcast on social media, you can find us on Facebook.com/playmoviewatchgames. I've been posting some short videos up on there. Been quite good. I quite enjoy them. Alternatively, you can find us on Twitter @playwatchpitch. Ben, do you want to plug where people can find you?
On Instagram @benfilmsstuff.
Ben films stuff. He does. He films some stuff.
I film some stuff. Sometimes.
Sometimes. There you go.
That's my life story.
Go over to Instagram, give him a shout out. Give him a shout out. Ben, let's give him a hint for a topic for next week. You got anything?
Not off the top of my head. Not a good one anyway. Not good enough to say out loud.
Just think about bald people fighting other bald people. There you go. That's your hint.
Bin petrol.
Stealing DVD players. There you go. That you should definitely know it by now. There you go. See you next week. Well, see you in 2 weeks. Not 4 weeks. We'll see you soon.